But take your Bible for a few moments and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Just for a few moments, I want to talk to you today about a story of a great sinner, but an even greater Savior. A great sinner, but an even greater Savior. Notice with me in verse 39 of Luke 23. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
What a salvation at the last minute before this man slips off into hell. He is rescued by Jesus. Jesus, who's hanging on the cross, being mocked that he can't save himself, is saving someone at the very moment that they're mocking him for not being able to save himself. This is an amazing story. And what strikes me about this account is verse 39 says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, cursing at Jesus, blaspheming Jesus. But in Matthew 27:44 and in Mark 15:32, which is Matthew's account and Mark's account of the same event, that it says that both criminals were railing at Jesus. Both of them were cursing Jesus. But right here it says one of them rebukes the other one. What's going on? They're both cursing Jesus, but something happens to one of them that doesn't happen to the other one.
Yes.
This is an amazing thing, because while he's hanging on the cross, right after he himself was cursing at Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God falls on him. Amen. And he begins to be awakened, and he looks at the other one and he starts rebuking the other man for doing the same thing that he was just doing himself. I bet that other guy was shocked by this. Look at this account. He rails at him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Notice what the Spirit does when he falls on a sinner who is a few moments before cursing Jesus. What does the Spirit do to save someone? Look at what happens. The other rebuked him and said, "Do you not fear God?" Wow. What does the Spirit cause to happen in your life to bring you to salvation? A fear of God. You begin to be awakened of a holy God. And that's a problem for you because you're not holy. And the fear of God is a threat. And this man starts evangelizing the other one, hanging on the cross. He fears God. And then he says, "Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation," and watch verse 41, "and we indeed justly." He believes he's a sinner. Not only that, he believes he's getting what he deserves. And he doesn't ask Jesus to get him off the cross because he knows he belongs on the cross.
That's right.
What an amazing thing the Spirit of God is showing this man while he's hanging, about to die. "We indeed justly, for we're receiving the due reward of our deeds." He knows the wages of sin is death. He believes in the fear of God. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he should not be rescued from the cross. He knows he's getting what he deserves. Notice what else he knows. Look at this. "But this man has done nothing wrong." He believes in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus is suffering unjustly. Wow, this is no simple salvation. This man is being awakened to a fear of God. He's evangelizing the other one. He's saying that I deserve to be here. I'm getting what I deserve. But this man's not getting what he deserves. What else does he believe? Look in verse 42. And he said, Jesus, watch this. Remember me. He says, Jesus, will you remember me? Don't forget me. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's how simple salvation is. I'm fearing God. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I'm getting what I deserve. Jesus, will you remember me? And notice this phrase, when. See that word, when? When you come into your kingdom? Wait a minute now. Nobody survives a crucifixion. Nobody. So when this guy says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, what does he believe that Jesus is going to do after he dies? He believes in the resurrection. This man believes, Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, this man believes it because he knows that Jesus is going to die but not stay that way. What else does this guy believe? He believes Jesus is a king. When you come into your kingdom, he also believes that the kingdom is also coming.
Yes.
Look at this. This is an amazing confession from this man. Absolutely amazing. Let's examine his belief system. He had the proper theology. He believed you should fear God. He had the proper anthropology. He had a sense of his own sinfulness and guilt. He had a proper hamartiology, the belief of sin. He believed in sin. He believed his sin deserved punishment, and he believed it deserved death. He had a proper Christology. He believed Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong, was a king, and would resurrect from the dead. He had a proper soteriology. He believed Jesus could actually save him. And listen, he trusted him by faith alone. He didn't offer anything. He couldn't offer anything. He's hanging there, about to die, and he trusts upon Jesus by faith and faith alone. And he had the proper eschatology. He believed Jesus would come again and inaugurate the future kingdom. This man had a systematic theology going on, hanging on the cross. In this simple salvation, he believed a lot of weighty, weighty truths. What was the response of Christ to this? Look in verse 43. Notice this. And he said to him, directly to this man, truly, I say to you, truly. This signifies that what I'm about to say to you is extremely shocking. But you can bank on it, it's true. I say to you, Jesus says, I'm saying to you. Not some rabbi, not the religious leader over here, not some scriptural scholar. This is an authoritative declaration directly from the Son of God himself. What an assurance this man had. How would you like to have Jesus just look at you and say, you will be with me today? What a skyrocket of assurance. And by the way, the Spirit says that through the Word to you, even though Jesus isn't here. You can have the same assurance today that this man was given. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He says today. Not after purgatory. Because, you know, you've really don't have a lot to offer. So if Jesus was a Roman Catholic, he would have had to say, not so fast there, buddy. I mean, you're going to have to go to purgatory for a while and really get purged of all the things you've done up until now. No! Jesus says, today, you will be, notice, with me.
Amen.
In paradise. You know the reason why heaven is heaven? It's because Jesus is there.
Amen.
A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want Jesus to be there.
That's right.
Heaven is with me, Jesus says. You will be with me in paradise. What an amazing account. What an amazing belief system. What are the implications of this? I've got six of them. Listen to these. Number one, no one is too bad to be saved. Nobody's too bad to be saved. This is a wicked man at the end of his life, a wretched thief, probably an insurrectionist and a murderer. He's about as bad as you can be. Nobody's too bad to be saved. Some people are too good to be saved, but nobody is too bad to be saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. This man was a lifelong thief. Not too bad to be saved. Number two. There is no work that you must do, or in fact can do, to be saved. This man is hanging on a cross with no ability to help or remedy his situation. There's no work required to be saved. This is proof positive. Number three, to be saved, you must simply abandon self-reliance and throw yourself completely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone.
Amen.
That's salvation.
Amen.
Notice the repentance of this man. One minute he's cursing Jesus. Repentance just means to change your thinking. Your mind starts to change about who you are and who God is. That's repentance. He's starting to be changed. And the fruit of repentance is the evangelism that's going on. The confession, the believing. He's depending upon Jesus to be saved. He throws himself on the mercy of Jesus. Next, if God doesn't graciously elect and sovereignly regenerate a wicked sinner, then he or she will end up just like every other wicked sinner. This is sovereign regeneration based on election. Because one of them is saved and the other one's not. And they're in the same situation. The cross was not enough of hanging there dying, suffering for the other one to realize he needs to be saved. Nothing can change a sinner unless the Spirit changes him first. And one thing happened to one of them and it didn't happen to the other one. Next, you must take Jesus at His word if you truly trust Him. You must take Him at His word. He will most assuredly save your wretched soul from eternal hell. You have to take Him at His word. He says, truly, today you will be with me. And lastly, you got to know whom you have believed. You need to know who you're trusting in. He is God who became man. He lived a sinless life under the law. He died a substitutionary death for lawbreakers. He rose from the dead. He is King of a kingdom. And folks, He will come again.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank You for the day. Thank You, Lord, for this account of salvation in its simplicity, but also in its profundity. What an amazing account. What an amazing confession this man had. What a shocking, startling statement from Jesus that said, you will be with me in paradise. And the most religious person on the planet will go to hell, but this thief, trusting in Jesus alone, will go to heaven.
Amen.
What a scandalous gospel. And Lord, we're not ashamed of it. We believe it. We know it's true. Because we know that the most religious person on the planet is still a wretched, wicked, hell-deserving sinner just like the rest of us. And Jesus is the perfect substitution for any sinner.
Amen.
Who was poured out upon Him the wrath of God. We know, Lord, that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Lord, we trumpet this gospel. We proclaim this gospel.
Amen.
Lord, we're not ashamed of this gospel.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to be bold, to be courageous. Lord, there's power in this gospel. There's power at the cross demonstrated on this thief who simply believed upon Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for this salvation. I pray people are encouraged today. Lord, I pray You would save someone today. I pray right now that the Spirit would fall on somebody and they would begin to say, I'm afraid of God. That's good. I pray they would see their sin for the first time in their life and that they would look to Christ and say, remember me. And their life would be completely different after. Save somebody today, Lord. We need You to do it. Lord, the Spirit fell on one. He didn't fall on the other one. Lord, we need You to save or people will walk away unchanged. Please, Lord, save somebody. Help us, Lord, to grow in our knowledge of Christ, Lord, to be thankful that this salvation has happened to us. Thank You for changing my mind, Lord. Thank You for causing me to view Jesus differently than I did before. Thank You for saving me. Lord, save somebody else, I pray. In His name, amen.
Amen.